Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Mark Fried-Finnegan, who is CEO and co-founder of Index. Hi, Mark. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much, Karen.
So, what is Index, and where do you fit in the payments ecosystem?
Sure, absolutely. We are a software company working to bring the measurement and personalization of online commerce into the physical world. We were very fortunate to work at Google for the past 2 years. My co-founder was one of the two engineers who started Google Wallet, Jonathan Wall, and I was the lead on the product side. But we left Google to start Index about 2 years ago. I think one of the incredible things that is sort of most consistent about all of our conversations with big retailers is the subject of Amazon. It sort of looms large, I think, in everybody's mind. And I think from our perspective, Amazon stands out for two big reasons. The first is that Amazon has one of the most incredible engineering teams in the world. In many ways, they happen to be in retail to the dismay of most everyone else. And I think number two, Amazon has a uniquely exceptional sense of customer identity. It all takes place in a browser, so you're logged in. Search, click, browse, buy, they really understand you as a customer. And when you compare that to what happens in the real world, I think people wander in stores, they're fairly anonymous. It's hard to know that you're the person who spent $100 last week, $500 online, or maybe you tweeted out a whole spring collection that you love. And so as a service, we want to help retailers identify their customers, really so they can personalize the experience they have in store, and ultimately sell more and do it more profitably.
So I thought what was interesting about the way you started was describing yourself as a software company and not a payments company. So how does payments wrap around this software solution that you're taking to market?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, I think a lot of people talk about mobile wallets, and obviously we worked hard to bring Google Wallet to market, which was an NFC payment solution. But really, what was always of most interest to us was the data around payments. I'm sort of the first to say, really half-jokingly, that a mobile wallet itself has no inherent value proposition. Payments today work just fine. I swipe my card, it works, it's fast, it's easy. But we think a lot about, you know, what are the other possibilities? I think what's critical about payments is that represents the moment of conversion, the moment, in a sense, where you know if everything else worked. And I think what we really want to help do is link the customer experience, link the personalized content, link the marketing that people do to the moment of transaction, to the moment of conversion. And that's what people do online. If you think about an AdWords campaign on Google or even a digital campaign on Facebook or Twitter, you can see how many impressions you have, who clicks, who comes to your site, how many dollars they spend, even what the lifetime value is of that customer. When you compare that to what happens in the real world, it's tough. The silly old famous quote is from John Wanamaker, in 1919, who said the equivalent of, you know, half of my marketing is effective, I just don't know which half. And as we look at it 100 years later, it's the same deal. We integrate into the payment stream to bring back the conversion data, to link that to the experiences customers have, and really measure how effective both marketing and different customer experiences are to the end result, to the sale.
So that must be music to the merchant's ears, because, of course, they love the fact that any software provider that is introducing payment is bringing data back to them is a good thing. But don't they have that data anyway? What are you doing that's different?
Sure, absolutely. You know, people have been talking about big data for a while, and I think there are a few challenges and there are a few reasons that big data hasn't lived up to its promise for everyone. The first is that you have to collect data in the right way. And I think what we're seeing with most retailers today is they understand how many things they sold, but they don't actually understand how many customers they have. Transactions are not tagged with a unique customer ID. So as we talk to retailers, certainly public companies report, you know, same store sales grew 5% last quarter, and we say, how did you do it? Their answer is generally, our product is great. And we say, no, let's be more specific. Did you acquire new customers last quarter? Or did your existing customers come more often or buy more? And then there's silence. They don't know. So I think a first challenge is retailers certainly have transaction data, but they really don't have customer data. Their transactions are not tagged. with unique customer IDs, where you ask a question about how many customers someone has, how frequency is trending, people just don't know. So that's number one. Think number two, once you have high-quality data that's been collected, you need to make sense of it. And so, of course, there's reporting, but still, I think of reporting as somewhat academic. I mean, it's nice to have a good report, but you all may sit around and look at it. I think really where it becomes exciting is when you can take data and actually make it actionable. When you can deliver the right recommendations or even price incentives or rewards to customers that drive behavior, that drive profitability, that's what we're doing. That's what we think is most exciting. And, of course, we're measuring the impact of our recommendations to really prove the ROI of everything we do.
So this assumes that consumers have something that enables them to interact with merchants that have enabled the index solution so that match can be made. What do consumers have to do, and how are you getting them to do it?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I think that privacy and data are big themes across everyone working in this space. We have a very clear perspective on both sides. The first is that any customer experience needs to require explicit and clear opt-in. We think we have some exceptional experiences, but we don't want to provide them to people who don't want them. So we have a very clear opt-in for customers. The second question that often gets asked is actually around retailer data. What do we do with data? We obviously hold very sensitive customer data. We actually look to Salesforce as the right model. They have a huge amount of sensitive customer data, but it's siloed. They don't share it across customers, and we take the same approach. When it comes to our experiences, we do a range of things. We start by actually reusing existing credit or debit cards as a primary identifier for a customer. But because we integrate directly to a retailer's point of sale and store, we understand not only how many dollars they spent, but actually the line item data, the SKU detail, the products that are in the basket. From there, we frequently work with our partners to offer receipts as a service, email receipts specifically, and that requires a customer to very explicitly opt in, share their email address, and ask for that type of service, which we're seeing across more and more retailers. Of course, our mobile experiences also require a customer to download an app. This is really sort of something that will come over time. I think, of course, Starbucks is a best-in-class example. And we see, you know, their mobile transaction rate is around 10%. But you can imagine that downloading an app is a very clear opt-in as well.
So where are you seeing traction? I would imagine that this is something that merchants would find very appealing. Where are you seeing the most interest so far?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're focused on building scale technology. Our target customer is the top 100 retailers in the U.S. I'm very fortunate my co-founder, Jonathan, before even Google Wallet, he was the tech lead for GFS, which is Google's file system. It's really the big data architecture that underpins Google. And so that is our core expertise to deal with really significant amounts of data to build technology that integrates to retailers of tremendous scale. And so we're focused on three verticals. We're focused on quick service, so, you know, the fast casual experience where you order at a counter. We've launched with some of our first partner there, and we're continuing to iterate to a number of other partners as well. A second category we focus on is grocery, but specifically natural foods, where the customer demographics tend to be pretty progressive and sort of readily embrace new technology, so that's been a great fit for us as well. And the third category we think about is specialty retail, effectively a retailer who specializes in something, whether it's shoes or sunglasses or department stores or kind of like, you know, specialty conglomerates, if you will. And so we think across those three categories with a real focus on both regional and national retailers of scale.
It's interesting how attractive the quick service restaurant category is, and I know it's attractive for a lot of reasons. But it also is a very habit-forming segment because people tend to visit the same place on a very regular basis. So you can kind of get them into the habit of doing something new if they find whatever they're being presented with interesting enough to try for the first time.
Absolutely. I think that I'm a big fan of Starbucks, but I think it's fair to wonder, do they have the perfect product experience, or are they just the perfect retailer for this type of technology? Maybe some of both. But I think generally quick service, you have a huge opportunity from a frequency perspective in terms of forming new customer habits. I think even grocery once a week, it's certainly an opportunity to do more. I think what's interesting about other retail categories, though, is the margins are much more generous, which provides an opportunity to do even smarter things when it comes to pricing and incentives and really experimentation with how you really incentivize individual customers to change their behavior in your stores.
So, Mark, last question. Obviously, you're looking to get merchants interested. What other aspects of the ecosystem are intriguing to you? Who else are you looking to partner with?
Sure, absolutely. Well, whereas I might think of Visa and MasterCard really as service providers to banks, Index is very clearly a service provider to retailers. We've built our software as a service, really an exceptional best-in-class set of technology to help them really leverage this transition to make stores more digital. I think that, you know, if you look at the seamless experience on Amazon as compared to the sometimes less than seamless experience in-store, and you add on to that the consideration that, well, it's pretty expensive to run stores. You got the real estate, the lights, the people. You definitely have to pause and wonder about the future of physical retail. I would say we are big believers in the future of physical retail. Not to say it won't change. I expect that chains will have fewer stores, probably smaller stores, maybe less inventory on hand. But if retailers embrace the same kind of technology that Amazon has, to really personalize the experience, make sort of stores competitive differentiators, not just cost centers, we think there's a really exciting future, even for physical retail, and I hope that Index technology will provide a really great foundation for a lot of these experiences.
Well, Mark, it's been great to get the snapshot of what Index is up to, and we look forward to seeing and hearing more about it in the weeks and months to come. Thanks for joining me today.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Karen.